This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, welcome, and I hope you all had a lovely Yom Tov. The Halacha Shir tonight is a fascinating topic. Its title is Moser and the Dilemma of the Jewish Tax Inspector. We're talking about it tonight. We try and find something which is related to the Parsha. This week's Sedra Tazrim Mitzorah talks about Tzaras, which one of the reasons why a person gets Tzaras is because of Lashon Hara. And the source for the Issa of Moser, of informing, of squealing, snitching on another person, some say it's to do with Lo Selech Rochel, which is connected, of course, to Tzaras, Lashon Hara, one of the reasons why a person gets Tzaras. Now, what exactly is a Moser? Moser literally means to hand over. Moser means to inform, where a Jewish person goes to non-Jewish authorities and gives information about Jewish property or Jewish life to the authorities with a view to, you know, getting another Jew in trouble. And this is treated incredibly severely in Halacha. If you take a look at the first box, and again, there are loads of Amar Chazal and Makaris I could have brought, but I just brought a few just to give you the severity of it. The first source is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says over there, Poshe Yisrael Begufon, those in the Jewish people who have sinned, who have done Averas, Yardu LeGehenem, they go to Gehenem, V'nidayinu Boshneim Osochedesh, and they're judged there for 12 months. We know that a person says Kaddish for 11 months, but if a person has the status of a Rosha, then it extends for 12 months. Avol, Haminin V'hamseiris V'hashmushamodim V'apikarsim, but if a person is one of these categories, a heretic, someone who is converted out of Judaism, an Apikoros, and a Moser, someone who informs to non-Jewish authorities, again, about Jewish property or life, Yerdin LeGehenem V'nidoinin Bo L'Dori Doros. They are judged there, L'Dori Doros. They're judged and punished in Gehenem for generations. And the Gemara says strong things about them. Haminin V'amaseros Hayumaridin V'lo Malin. You're allowed to sort of put them in a pit, and you don't have to take them out. In other words, it's a passive form of killing them. So they're treated incredibly seriously. The Rambam says, "Osa limsa Yisrael biyad goyim." This is the Rambam in Hilchos Chovei LeMazik Perek Ches Halacha Tes. "Osa limsa Yisrael biyad goyim." It's also to inform, to hand over a Jewish person biyad goyim to the non-Jewish authorities, bein begufay bein menon, both in respect of his property or his very being. Vafilu hayerosha, even if this person is a wicked person. Ubal Averis, and he does Averis, and he can be very annoying. Even if he causes you a lot of distress, you're not allowed to inform on him. So anyone who does that hasn't got a chelik in the world to come. So you see that Moser is treated very, very seriously in Halacha. Now, this gives rise to lots of possible questions in contemporary life. Now, we're only going to touch a few of the topics, but I'll give one question which we'll deal with later in the Shem, is, well, what about a Jew being a tax inspector? Now, what is that? What is the problem? He works for the Inland Revenue. He works for HMRC, His Majesty's Revenue and Customs, the IRS in America. What's the problem? He's sitting there doing a tax return, and he sees this is all looks very fraudulent, very dodgy. And then he sees the name at the bottom. I know it's Chaim Yankel Horowitz, who lives in a Jewish area, and he therefore suspects he may be Jewish. And he's got to pass it over to the fraud team, who are going to investigate him. And whatever the repercussions may be, does that violate the halachas of Moser? What if you're in a school, and the Inland Revenue want information about donations made by some one of the parents? Because are you allowed to give that over? And of course, there are related issues. For example, if you have people coming to collect stock, now Baruch Hashem, the vast, vast majority are honest, upright people who just down on their luck or whatever it may be, or collecting for other people. But what if, and it has happened here in London, I remember a few years ago this happened, a couple of unscrupulous collectors came and they worked together. One came in and sort of distracted the person at home, and the other one stole things, purses, candlesticks, who knows what. So are you allowed to go to the authorities to tell the police? And of course, there are other situations of social services and things like that. Does it all fall foul of the halachas of Moshe? Now, this is just for, in theory, I'm not passing the halacha lemaisa. One has to, you know the facts of each case, and it's not straightforward, and it can be very grave isurim involved. But I'm just raising the issues. It's based on a shir that I heard many years ago from a friend, and these are the makaris largely from him. But it's a fascinating topic. It has a lot of historical background, something which we're very familiar with. For example, the bracha of Vilam Ashinim. Now, we know that there are Shmoneh Esrei, there are 18 brachas in Shmoneh Esrei, however, one was added. And many commentators explain the reason why it was added was not because it was because of Jewish informers. The Malshin means, from the Lashon of Loshain, that they inform on other Jews. They want to ingratiate themselves with the authorities. There may be some sorts of financial gain or political gain or whatever it may be. And sadly, you know, if you look in Britannica, the Jewish Britannica, you'll see pages on this of informers. And I just highlighted a few in 1083. The Rif, one of the great Amudei HaRishonim, the Shulchan Aruch is based on three Amudei HaRishonim, the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam. The Rif had to flee North Africa. He was a victim of slander. In 1250, here in England, King Henry III wanted to impose a double tax on Jews, and he got another Jew to accompany him, or another Jew wanted to again ingratiate himself with the royalty, and he accompanied the officials to see the economic state of Jews in England to help highlight, yeah, this guy owns this, this guy owns this. Again, you're informing the king in order that the king could impose a higher tax on Jewish people. In 1553, there were rival printing presses, and one wanted to get the other into trouble, and they said that they're printing the Talmud, and the Talmud has many anti-Christian comments, and he sort of informed on their rivals, and it got to Pope Julius III, and he, you know, closed down these Torah centers in Italy, because that eventually led to that. So the ramifications were huge. And even in more, you know, we're coming up to, like, you know, we're in the Omer now. Perhaps the most famous example, in the Shim Bar Yochai is in a cave for 12 years and in a 13th year. What's he doing in the cave in the first place? This is what we celebrate. He wrote the Zohar, etc. Why was he in a cave? So the Gemara tells us, the Gemara Shabbos Lamed Gimel and other places, that he was having a conversation with Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi said that the Romans, they were talking about the Romans, and that's the society in which they were living. The Romans had were running Eretz Yisrael at the time, and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi said things which were not positive about the Roman authorities, and he said good things about them. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came along and said negative things. And there was someone in there who snitched, who informed on the Roman authorities, and a wanted sign went up, and he had to escape. Because if he would have been found, you know, who knows what would have happened. Torture, death. So, and if you think it's just in times of old, perhaps a more recent one is reported by the Margolius Hayom. Margolius Hayom is a fairly contemporary source. He died in 1971. His farm are very popular. And he tells about a case in his father's shul. It sounds like a crazy case, and I don't know exactly how long ago this is. Let's say 100 years, I'm not sure exactly, 150 years maybe. But in his father's shul, there was a Moshe in town who informed on Jews in the community. Again, he goes to non-Jewish authorities to give information about Jewish property, Jewish life, and he made the Jewish people in that community, their lives a misery. And all of a sudden, one Kol Nidre, he rocks up to shul. And they spotted that it was him. Now, the halacha is that you are allowed to kill a Moshe. What's the halachic premise for that? So it's debated. But largely, it's based on the concept of roidef. That he has the din of someone who's chasing after you. In the same way that you're allowed to self-defend, you're allowed to stop that attack. While a Moshe, if he's passing on to unscrupulous authorities, it can be incredibly dangerous for individuals and for the whole community. So he had a din of a roidef. And what they did was, they took him on Yom Kippur, you know, talis kittel, And they tied his hands together, they tied his feet together, they put weights on him, and they threw him into the river and he drowned. And then the story was that his I don't know exactly how, but the body floated up a few days later, and the authorities got wind of it, and they suspected it was the Jewish community who have got rid of this fellow who was informing and was very helpful for them. And they made their way to the shore. The father of the Margolis Hayom got the community together quickly and said, we all have to make a shvur that no one can divulge what happened. And the authorities came in. What happened to this fellow? Do you have anything to do with it? Nothing. We don't know anything about it. Nothing to see here, governor. And that was it. So even in more recent times, the issue of Masira is sort of alive and well. So it's treated very severely in halacha. The question is, what is the status nowadays? You may be wondering, what exactly, you know, are you allowed to do this? So we said rodef, to because the person is considered pursuing you, is actively pursuing you. And you should know that there is lots of precedent for the fact that a beis din, if it has the ability, they have what's called extrajudicial powers. They're allowed to do things which is not necessarily subscribed in halacha. The Ran in Drosha in Yud Aleph says this, and if they look at the Rambam on the top of the next page, if you're listening online, email me at j.golko@gmail.com, I'll send you the handout. He says the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Yesh lebeistin la halkas misha ina mechuyev malkas, to give lashes, to give malkas to someone who is not chayev malkas. For laharag misha ina mechayev misa, to kill someone who is not chayev misa. V'lo laver al divrei Torah, and not even to violate if it's violating divrei Torah, lasa siagla Torah. Even if the guy wasn't over Torah, you just need to make a stand because he's sort of encroaching on Torah values or whatever it may be. The kivin sheroim based in shepart suham b'dava yeshlo en nigdo v'lechazik adava kafi mashayir lahem. They're allowed to. They have these extrajudicial powers. So the question is, what about our cases, the examples I gave earlier, the tax inspector, HMRC, the IRS, they ask the yeshiva for records of donations to be an auditor for the revenue, do you pass that on? Well, what is the story? So take a look at two interesting tshuvas of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe and Igros Moshe, the first one is in Chishon Mishpat Chelek Aleph Simen Ches. Now this, a fascinating case, this is in Shvat, Tovshin Chafalev, which is 1961, and he's writing to the Rabbonim in Baltimore. And the case over there involved a person who was passing off treif meat as kosher meat, and they want to take action. The question is, can they take him to the courts? What can they do? So he said, look at this. Kibalti michtavchem bedova harosha bo koech shel beis chareshes. A guy, this wicked person, has had some sort of factory. He puts a stempel, a heksha, saying kosher, when the whole thing is treif, is nevelis and treifus. And he sells them to Jewish people under the guise that they are kosher. Are you allowed to inform of this fraud to the Gentile authorities, sheyodunu kosher b'ketzef ha'maisa, they can give him a heavy fine, or they can put him in prison. O sheyodunu oso yarab medine Yisrael, or can they just, you know, take him to Basin? And Basin have got very limited powers. You can put him in cheirim, you can give him an aliyah, you know. Nowadays, there's very limited what they can actually do. So says Rav Moshe, laniv estayti av sheposhu gadol ma'id, even though his sin is very grave, I don't think you should go to court for two reasons. Number one, there is a prohibition to go to a secular court. If you've got a din, you've got an issue with another Jewish person, you've got to go to Beis Din. And therefore, there's a prohibition to go to secular courts. And second of all, havadai hem yodunu b'maisav mamon shalikud in Israel. Furthermore, they're going to do things, whatever punishment they give, will not be consistent with what halacha says about this particular case. Like I said, they might give a punishment of prison or of a heavy fine, and it violates the problems of Masira. She'oz yesh lachosh l'isum osur. There's an issue of informing, which we saw is a very grave crime. However, look at the last paragraph. Lochein, nir la nivestaiti, shemitchili yodunu esom bevat harabonim, b'chol ma shebiyodom. Really, you've got to deal with it yourselves and take him to court in Beis Din under halacha. Voikel poisem nimkar dvarim kasherim. You've got to make sure you just stop his activity. He can't continue selling treif meat to Jewish people. V'im lo yitzayas oz yoviu lebedinakos. If he doesn't listen to you, then you can bring him to non-Jewish courts, because then your hands are tied and you've got to stop him and this is continuing. Then you can go to secular courts. Okay, so that's the first tshuva. Now the second one is about a person who wanted to be a tax auditor. And this is exactly the question. He was worried that he's going to come across Jewish tax returns, which are fraudulent. He'll have to pass them on. Is he allowed to do that? So says Ramosha, and this is in Tammuz Tovshin Chafez, 1962. Hine bedova, imuta lekabel mishras reyach eshpoilis. This is our question. Hanochen l'anivestaiti. Look at the last paragraph from the page. Hanochen l'anivestaiti. The correct, in my humble opinion, is given the be'etzem hari kol mi sheyia reyach eshpoilis. Anyone who is going to be an auditor, yimtzes hapshia. If it's not you who's going to find the fraud, then if you don't take the job, it's going to be found. Somebody else is going to be in your position. Somebody else will get the job. So this fraud will be exposed. There'll be another auditor who will discover it. You're not causing him any extra, because he's going to inevitably have this punishment. And without causing him this extra issa, there's no problem, because you're just a sort of a functionary. And therefore there's no problem, it's the issa of Mesira. Furthermore, says Ramosha, there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that if this could involve a chil Hashem, then there's no issue. Then you've got to consider that. And of course, there could be an enormous chil Hashem in here, because if it's discovered that another Jewish auditor is covering up this fraudulent tax claim, that, you know, it's front pages of all the papers, the Jewish Chronicle, the Daily Telegraph, the New York Times, it will hit everything. And therefore, says Ramosha, there's actually no problem for you to be an auditor, and if you discover something which is underhand, then you have got no problem with passing it on to the relevant authorities. So the dilemma of the Jewish tax inspector, according to Ramosha, is that he can actually apply, take that job, and there is no issue of Mesira in that particular case. But I think what emerges from this topic is that it's a very broad topic, and there's lots of other areas where it could apply. But what's interesting is that this issa of Moser, of being Moser, of informing on another Jew to non-Jewish authorities about Jewish property, Jewish life, A, it's incredibly severe. The sources, talk about it in a very severe, serious way. Number two, there is a lot of historical background, precedence of all of this sort of situation. In contemporary times, the Aruch HaShulchan, I've written there in 6b, he talks that nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we're living in a just society, it's slightly different. If you take a look there, maybe another time, in what the Aruch HaShulchan says about the British royalty, and we're living in more just times. But certainly in contemporary halacha terms, it's something to be very aware of, and one needs to take guidance in any situation when you're informing on other Jews. However, there are many situations where not only can you inform, but you must inform. In situations with social services and abuse and things like that, that's beyond the remit of this particular shir. But in respect of the Jewish tax inspector, according to Ramosha, it would be absolutely fine for you to take that position, and there'll be no issa of Mesira involved if you do come across something which is fraudulent. Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.